Hey there, Vet Blast podcast listeners. We come to you today with some exciting news. Nominations for DVM360's 4th Annual Veterinary Heroes Awards have been extended until May 31st. This means that you have almost 6 more weeks to nominate your veterinary superhero. Remember, we are honoring one person from 11 different categories. Keep in mind that these are peer-to-peer nominations, so you are encouraged to nominate any veterinary professional, no matter what you specialize in. So don't forget to nominate your veterinary superhero by May 31st. Check out DVM360 to learn more, and the link to nominate will be in today's show notes. Enjoy the episode.
Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM360.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Vet Blast podcast. There's so many dangers and stressors that can happen anywhere, but specifically in the ER. We're going to chat about making the ER a safe space for everyone. And before we do that, you know, we do have the veterinary heroes that are out there. So nominations are underway. Go ahead and nominate one of your fellow colleagues for Vet Heroes. We're going to be celebrating them in December. You can head over to dvm360.com/vetheroes. And I can't think of a wonderful hero in our profession is the one and only Ken Yagi. How are you, my friend?
Doing good. How about you?
Good, thanks. So a little bit of information about Ken, because we're going to be chatting about making that ER a safe space for everyone. Ken Yagi is the Chief Veterinary Nursing Officer for VEG, Veterinary Emergency Group, and he's dedicated his career to reimagining veterinary nursing for 24 years. So I can only imagine his experiences and what we're going to talk about today about making the ER less stressful for everyone. And Ken invites everyone to ask the why, to understand the what and how of our field, and to continuously pursue new limits as veterinary professionals and individuals, because Ken passionately works to bring further recognition of the vital role of the veterinary nurses and technicians through the work with industry-leading organizations. He's also an advocate for the open hospital concept, which we're going to chat about in a second, encouraging veterinary practices to invite the pet owners to the, quote, back as part of the team there. So, Ken, you know, there's so much stress that happens, of course, especially in the ER. So what are some common stressors that pets and pet owners face at an emergency veterinary hospital?
Yeah, I think when we think about stresses that pet owners especially face is that it's actually about finding a place that I can actually see them. So it even starts before they get to the hospital. Many hospitals have cut back on hours. Deferral status is pretty common these days. And so some people actually have to call multiple locations before they can find a place that will actually see them. And so I think that's where we fit in really well, is that people can just call us at any point in time. We're open 24/7. And we make it a point so that the pet owners get to talk to somebody who can help them right away, which would be mainly the doctors at that time. So then it adds to their peace of mind. But in the hospital itself, I think there's a lot of different kinds of stresses that pets and pet owners encounter. For the pets, I think it's definitely an unfamiliar environment that they're coming into, with different kinds of smells, sounds. Veterinary hospitals can be kind of stressful for the pets. They're usually in some kind of pain or discomfort that they're coming in for, and that adds to their stress level. And then oftentimes when they arrive at the hospital, they get separated from their owners. And so that adds to the level of anxiety through whether the patient has true separation anxiety or just normally being separated from their family members in a foreign environment is going to be inducing some kind of fear, right? And then we come in and we're strangers and we're starting to handle them. And so it kind of gets worse and worse as the visit progresses. And then there's other animals that might be in the hospital and the environment that adds to their anxiety too. And so then from the pet owner side, there's probably the worry about the pet's health. It's an emergency situation. They don't know what to do. They don't understand pet health as well as veterinary professionals do. So I think we tend to underestimate the amount of uncertainty that they come in with. And depending on what's going on, the information or the news that they get could be very unexpected. And so that could lead to shock on their end in terms of what kinds of medications that they need to be on or testing that they need, or maybe it's a surgical procedure. These are all things that kind of just hit them very quickly that they need to process. And all that, the next thought process might be, how much is this all going to cost? Financial concerns will come up. Hopefully many of them get to that point very quickly, but many of them actually might be experiencing huge long wait times in the lobby, or they just get put into the exam room and they're just waiting for somebody to come and talk to them, and it could be hours before they are actually seen, and that continues to add to their stress. And through all that, do they actually understand everything that the veterinary team is throwing at them in terms of explanations of the situation, the testing that they need, and the medical information that, they're being talked to about? And that all leads to potentially confusion or frustration, or human emotional side that takes all toll. And especially if the pet owner has had past experiences where they haven't had a good experience with another pet at through an emergency, then their anticipation for something going wrong is pretty high. And so those are kinds of the stresses that they all experience as they have an emergency situation.
Thanks for sharing that. I mean, to the listeners, that's a lot of stressors. If you really take a step back and think about that, I mean, sometimes these wait times are long. So you got the stress of that, of not knowing what's going to happen. What are the nurses and the doctors and technicians going to tell us about this, the unknown? And I like what you said too, appreciate that, when you said there's so many options and just recommendations that an owner has to kind of digest. And that's really stressful, because you layer that on top of the financial stress that they may have, and you just want to do the right thing. And I can only imagine when, you know, you take the dog or the cat away from the owner, that is in and of itself a stressful situation, because we just don't know what's going to happen or what's the end result going to be. So talk to me a little bit more about that importance of keeping that pet owner close to the dog or cat or whatever animal that they have through the journey of the ER.
So when we think about the traditional way that the veterinary practices emergency practice function, is that it's usually a closed environment where there's like a reception room, an exam room that the people go into and wait for somebody to come and talk to them. And when treatments need to be done, their pets are taken to the back where all the action takes place. And so the pet owner sits in the room wondering, you know, what's taking so long? What's going on with my pet? I haven't gotten an update in a little while. And then they hear like a cat screaming in the background, and they say like, wait, what was that, my cat? Right. And then they start hearing a little bit of commotion and people running around and raising voices or whatever. And they wonder like, could that be my pet? How come nobody's telling me what's going on? Is my pet okay? And that's the kind of situation that, a closed, hospital may, create for the pet owners. But an open hospital is actually different in that we have a setup where it's an open floor plan. The pet owners come right into the treatment room, and they get to be seen by a doctor and a nurse team right away. And they don't have to fill out any paperwork. They don't have to they'll sign that they agree to a certain financial cost before they start seeing anyone that that can help them. Instead, they get the help right away, which is hugely helpful, and it puts them at peace, or sorry, at ease. So the open hospital concept, there's lots of benefits to it. And so just thinking about the owner that I just described that is sitting in a room wondering what's going on, they actually see everyone and the work that's going on. So they know that it's not that we're taking our sweet old time trying to take care of our things in a leisurely fashion, but they can see that everyone's working hard. There's very little downtime. They see that if they have to wait, that it's because there are other pets around that is maybe being prepared to go to surgery, or maybe that dog is has a bleeding wound that we need to stop the bleeding on. Or in some cases, they might see that there's a team performing CPR on an animal that is literally dying, and that's why they're having to wait. And so there's a good understanding that comes from what's going on in the hospital that the pet owners can benefit from.
What has that reaction been like, Ken, when you have, when you're so busy in the ER, you have multiple cases going on, end of life care potentially is going over here, and then catheter placement over here, maybe a blood transfusion. what are some things that you're seeing with pet owners? Are they bonding to other pet owners? Do they feel that they're in the way, if you will? Like, what's it like?
Yeah, I think that most people tend to, so we have it set up in a way that in that open treatment area, there are different areas that, that people can stay in with their pets and they hang out until their care is provided. And they tend to be looking around and observing. And you're right that some of them start talking to each other about why they're here and why, like asking about why the other person is there, and get to know each other a little bit. So they get a little bit comfortable in the environment, for sure. I think that there are times where that turns into the next level where something, the other pet owner that they just got to know maybe receives a little bit of bad news or something like that. And the pet owner, the other pet owner goes and actually consoles them. Like, you know, whether it's giving them a hug or sometimes being the shoulder to cry on. Those kinds of things actually start happening because we're all people, we're human beings, and we all have like empathy for each other. And so that's actually, when we see that happen, it's a pretty beautiful thing.
I love that. I really do. And thanks for sharing that, because I think it's important. At the end of the day, we're all pet owners. You know, we're all here trying to help support each other. We're either going to be there at some point when it's end of life care, or it's just nice to show empathy and lead with compassion. So I love that. And I understand too, that are there like pullouts or some, or cots for the pet parents to stay near their animals? Is that right?
So I think, the first, I think people, when they hear that the pet owners can be in the hospital with their pets 24/7, they're already surprised about that, that they can stay in the hospital. But then that means that there are patients that stay in the hospital, gets hospitalized and stay overnight, and we let the pet owners actually stay with them overnight. That could be cage side, where they have a nice little cushion to sit on, or like, you know, a half chair that they can be on the ground with. And then I've seen many, many instances of pets being just hugged while they're sleeping on an IV next to the cage. And the peacefulness of both the patient's expressions and how the pet owners feel, that's amazing too. But yeah. To take it to the next level, the pull-out bed that you're talking about, there's actually rooms that have Murphy beds that we can pull out, that we can set them up for a more cozier environment for animals that probably need to stay a little bit more long-term, or they just need a little bit more quiet location to do that in.
You know, there is something to be said about TLC. I mean, in fact, there really is a science behind it. When they say with us, I mean, when I had to deal with losing my parents, I wanted to make sure that I was with them to the end, you know, and I know that when you're with your dogs and cats, either healing or whatever that might be, they feel so much more at peace knowing that someone that they know and love and adore, because you're their whole world, is next to them. So kudos to you guys for really doing that and providing an opportunity in the space to pet parents that really want to be there for them. I mean, as an obsessed dachshund dad myself, thank you, because I would be that one that would be laying right next to them on that. And Ken, I'm curious, you've been in this field for many years. What does that look like to you over the years, from where you were with your experience to where you are now with the open floor concept? What does that mean to you?
Yeah, so when I started in my career, the first 17 years of my career was spent at somewhere called Adobe Animal Hospital, located in Los Altos, California. And this was also a 24/7 hospital, general slash emergency. We had an ICU where we hospitalized animals. And what's unique about this hospital, you know, even back then, was that it was also an open hospital. Not as open as Veg, because Veg, you walk into like one big room, but this hospital is a little bit more standard hospital structure, where there's a reception, treatment area, an emergency area, an ICU, and these are different compartments. But with that said, the pet owners could come back with them. And that's where I grew up. And so I actually don't know anything different than an open hospital concept. And as I started going out there, doing some speaking. And I knew that this open hospital concept was something that I truly believed in, that it builds trust. At IBEX 1 year, there were several people in the audience that had neon green shirts. They were very interactive. They were asking a lot of questions about the open hospital concept. And after that presentation was over, one of the people came up to me and started saying, like, how great the open hospital concept is. We do it too. And the person that introduced himself was David Bessler, the CEO of Veg. And so that's where we connected, actually reconnected, because we knew each other from about 15 years before that, being classmates. We just didn't remember it until a little bit later. But anyways, so after that, we started having a little bit more conversation about why isn't veterinary medicine different? Why is it the way that it is today? That why do we have a closed hospital and that's the norm? Why do we I obviously talked to him a lot about the veterinary nursing side, that why are we paid so little? Why don't people see it as a career? Why aren't we utilized the way that we should be? Why don't we have nurse practitioners? And then one of the questions that I threw out there was also, why isn't there a chief nursing officer out there that's overseeing nursing in any of these companies out there? And that's where we started, that's where my road started out to be the CVNO as well, that they came back the next time and said, this CVNO concept, we want to do it. Do you want to do it with us? And going back to the open hospital concept, I couldn't imagine doing it any other way. And I think that when I feel that, especially, is when I've had experiences with human medicine, where there was one time where my wife had to go to the emergency room, and we waited in the waiting room after seeing the triage nurse. Even though I could tell that she looks pale, her capillary refill time is slow, and she's feeling weak, and I can tell that she's in shock, but we're waiting in the waiting room until the doctor's able to see her. Sure, like I think that once the doctor saw the vitals, they saw that if this was an urgent situation, she was put on the gurney in a hallway because all the rooms were full. It was 4th of July weekend, and so it was definitely busy, and that's the reason why things tend to take long. She basically was bleeding internally, and she needed to go to surgery. Couldn't get a surgeon, and for a long time, once the surgeon was able to come in, we tried to move her onto the gurney that was going to take her into the surgery room. She lost consciousness, and they called a code blue. And when we picked her back up and put her back down, she fortunately regained consciousness. But after that, she's telling me that she feels weak, she feels sleepy, and I'm walking by her side on that gurney as she goes through the double door into the surgery room. And then the door closes, right? And I'm thinking to myself, like, am I going to see her again? And she's scared. And that's the kind of experience that people get when they get forcibly separated, really doesn't get things explained to them in terms of what's going on, and not understanding the situation. And in the worst case scenario, that might be the last time that they see them. And so just thinking about stuff like that, the emotional side of pet ownership and emergencies, or just being family and human beings, I think that there's definitely things that need to change about veterinary medicine and veterinarians doing it the right way.
Well, thank you for sharing that, Ken. Really, thank you. It really hits close to home, and I think to many of the listeners out there. I do want to give you mad props to the team on being, creating a disturbance. I speak a lot about this. I'm going to be speaking at a keynote presentation about knowing your why, but questioning the why at the same time. And I like what you said, is like, why does it have to be this way? And when you look at systems and processes that may be broken, or an alternative to a system process, here's a great option of that. And I just think that's fantastic. So my hat's off to you for, and the team, of course, for creating it, because it's a whole labor of love that goes behind something like this. So thank you for doing that, really. Oh, okay. Well, that was what you're supposed to say. You're welcome. But that's fine, Ken.
I can
That's
say
fine. You can leave me hanging. It's okay.
it. You're very welcome, Adam.
Okay. Thank you so much. So where this has been wonderful. So where can we learn more about you and the folks at Veg?
So I'm definitely on things like LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, posting about different kinds of veterinary nursing related topics, as well as emergency and critical care. Veterinary emergency group is at the veterinaryemergencygroup.com, that you can find us on the website. I also speak at various conferences. So if you see me out there, please just stop me and say hello, ask me questions, and I love these kinds of conversations.
I'm smiling because, listeners, if you haven't caught this guy at a live event, what's wrong with you? You have to hear him. I'm always learning from him. I mean, Recover CPR is something that I just think is unbelievable to watch with him and the team when they have these simulators that are out there. So absolutely cool. And just really shedding light on transfusion medicine. Again, just innovation, pushing the envelope, asking the why, and challenging the status quo. And Ken, thank you for all the great work you do in this profession, my friend. Really, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Thanks to our listeners for tuning in. Don't forget to rate this podcast as always. It helps us out as we continue to grow. We'll see you next time right here on the Vet Blast Podcast.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast Podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay pawsome.